Let us have the passage read again. It is Matthew chapter 11 and give me verse 10 and 11 this time.
For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that
now,
are born...
Just a minute. The brothers just read verse 10 from the book of Matthew. What Jesus Christ said in verse 10 is about John the baptizer. I mentioned to you last week that the Baptist is not John's surname. It is John's profession. He baptized people based on God's commission to him. Verse 11 now, brother.
Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist.
Now, it's important we get this because so much of what I'll be saying surround this verse. Jesus Christ said, among them that are born of woman, all those, and that refers to every human being, with the exception of Christ. Jesus Christ said, none is greater than John the Baptist. None. Of all the men and women that are born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. That's verse 11. There are quite a few things we look on last week. We look on the fact that John came into the world under some unusual situation. His mother and father, up until old age, did not have any children. And finally, an angel appeared to them, to Zechariah, informing him that his wife, she was advanced in age, going to have a child. And they did have a child named John. Watch here now, of all the greatness of John, as indicated by this verse that the brothers just read, I pointed out last week that John was never the founder of any church. Very important that we keep that in mind. It makes no sense that you and I go out and name a church after John the Baptist. Because, you see, for that church to be accepted by God, it has to be commanded by God. And the Almighty God knows more than we do that mere sinful men and women cannot be founder of any true church. Because the founder of the true church has to purchase the church with his blood. And it cannot be an imperfect human being like we are. That's why it takes the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to come on the scene and to say, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So John was not the founder of any church. John's duty, John the Baptist, God-given, God-ordained mission was to be a forerunner for Jesus Christ. Verse 11 again.
Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding that he is least, that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
This sounds like a contradiction. None is greater than John the Baptist, yet those who are in the kingdom, they are greater than John. What are you saying, Christ? You're speaking to us in parable. Not really. Let us look at that now. We look first at John's, well, call it the paradox of John's comparative greatness. That is, comparative in respect to all the great Old Testament character that lived and pleased God. The passage indicates that those who are in the kingdom are greater than John. It is appropriate for our mind to begin to ask, who are they? If this man John was so great, greater than Noah who built the ark, greater than Abraham who was called the friend of God, greater than Moses, the great lawgiver, greater than Joshua, who prayed that the sun stand still, and none of the heavenly bodies or element move for a period so as to give Joshua a longer day to fight God's battle against the Gentiles. Greater not only of Joshua, greater than David, who was said to be a man after God's own heart. Greater than Daniel, greater than Elijah, who did not experience death as we do. He was translated. My God, what about this man John that made him so great? That he's great. Those in the kingdom are the greatest. Okay, Christ, of all those born of woman, none is greater than John. That's Christ's word. Then in the same breath, yet those who are in the kingdom, in fact, no, those who are least in the kingdom are greater than John. Who are they? Who are they that are in the kingdom that are greater than John? Those in the kingdom referred to, among others, are we all there now? Among others, the apostles of Jesus Christ and New Testament Christians. I repeat, that include those of us who are committed to Christ. Those of us who have been baptized for the removal of our sins, we are in the kingdom. And as this message progresses, I'm going to show you that John was not in the kingdom. In fact, the verse under consideration, verse 11 of Matthew chapter 11, indicate also that all the great godly men and women who lived before John, they were not in the kingdom either. Not one of them. Because Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ says, of all those who are born of women, none is greater than John. And that means all the men and women in the past, all the men and women who lived hundreds, thousands of years before John, godly men who serve God, they were not in the kingdom of God. But men and women who come to know Jesus Christ, they are in the kingdom, and therefore they are greater than John. Ladies and gentlemen, may I get this? John was the greatest of the prophets because of John's proximity to Jesus Christ. You see, John the Baptist was great by association. That's right. And in a few minutes or second, I'll be pointing out in what way are we greater. So before your head grow big, that important for us to understand in what way we are greater. Not because we are more dedicated. Not because we are more godly. But first dealing with John, why this greatness? It is because of this man's association and his proximity to Jesus the Christ. From the text we learn that all true and lasting greatness arises from association with Jesus Christ. Are we all there? Relationship with Christ. Are we all there? And contact with Jesus Christ. From the text, that of all those who are born of woman, none is greater than John, yet those who are in the kingdom are greater than John. And those in the kingdom is referring to those who have had Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Just as John was the greatest of the prophets because of his proximity to Christ, the apostles, and in fact, all true Christians are greater than John because not simply because we have had association with Christ. John had that. But we are greater than John the Baptist. That's right. John was not in Christ. We are in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen. Being in Christ, we experience the new birth. We were born of the water and of the Spirit. That's what makes us greater than John. It's not that we are greater in character, we are greater in commitment. No. It is because of being in Christ. John was great. And from the passage, verse 11, we gather that to be a forerunner of Christ, or to be Christ's forerunner, it is to be above. It is to be above teacher and prophet. To be a forerunner of Jesus Christ is to be above Levites and priests. To be a forerunner of Jesus Christ is to be above lawgiver and king. John was greater than Moses, the lawgiver. John was greater than David, a man after God's own heart. Those in the kingdom are greater than John because John was not in the kingdom of God, as I have said. Are we all there? And as I said, no one up to the time of John had been in the kingdom either. Are we all there? How do I know that? Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Look at these passages. Let us hear them.
In those days,
came John the Baptist,
preaching in the wilderness of Judea,
and saying,
repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Now, at hand mean it is near. Wait, at hand mean it's not here yet. So John could not be in the kingdom when it is not here yet. The brother read from Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
Yes.
Let us hear now Mark chapter 1. Did I say 14 and 15?
Yes.
I think that's what I said.
Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee.
Watch here, now, look here. We have just read in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, where John was preaching and telling his audience, the Jews, that they should repent because God's kingdom was at hand. Meaning, it's not here yet. That's why John was not in the kingdom. Then you have now Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Let us hear him.
And saying,
The
time is fulfilled.
The time is fulfilled.
And the kingdom of God is at hand.
Hear Christ. It's important that we keep this in mind. Up to when John was on earth, the kingdom was not yet established. Very important. We keep that in mind. You have John preaching it. That's why Jesus Christ talked about, yet those who are in the kingdom are greater than John, because John was not in the kingdom, in God's kingdom. The world had existed for thousands of years. The Almighty God had already chosen the Jews as his people. And they had lived for some 1,500 years. And yet God's kingdom was not here. So you have Christ who came on the scene, preaching the same thing, telling the Israelites that they should repent, because the kingdom of God was at hand. But tell me what. Ah, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the kingdom was spoken about in different terminology. Not anymore was it spoken of as something to come, but it was now spoken of as something that is here. That's why when you as a man or a woman turn your life over to Jesus Christ, true faith in Christ, repentance from sin, confession of Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin as Jesus Christ has commanded. When you do that, the Almighty God adds you to His family. His family are called Christian. They are not Baptist Christian. They are not Methodist Christian. They are not Pentecostal Christian. They are just Christian. Look on these few passages now telling us that the kingdom is here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
Who had delivered us?
Read, start again. You're at the right passage. Just read a little louder. Who art?
Who had delivered us?
That is the Almighty God that delivered us
from the power of darkness.
Stop there a little, brother. Stop there a little. Are we all there? Are we all there? Did you know that when you repent and become a Christian, you are delivered from something? You are delivered from Satan's grip. You are delivered from Satan's handcuff. Sin, rule your life. You do what you want, what you like, according to the dictates of sin. Read that again, brother, Colossians 1:13. Who?
Who had delivered us?
The who refers to God?
From
our Christ, who had delivered us from the?
Power of darkness.
Power of darkness. That's where Satan rule, and that is referring to disobedient life, sinful life, where men and women just live their own life, do their own thing, and they never think that they need to serve the Almighty God. God delivered us. When we become Christian, when we learn the truth and become Christian, it means God had been merciful upon us. Delivered us from the power of darkness
and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Did you see what I see? Huh? The Almighty God did not only deliver us from something, you know, see that, but He has placed us into something. He had delivered us from the power of darkness, that is from the grip of Satan, and translated. You see, the word translated carried the concept, the idea of change. Change. Translated us into what? Into what?
The kingdom of His dear Son.
The what? The kingdom. He did not translate us in something that didn't exist. The kingdom must have been in existence when the book of Colossians was written by Paul, inspired by God to write, for God to have placed the Christians of Colossae in it, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So you notice the difference? Just a few years before John and Jesus Christ came preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand, meaning it wasn't here yet. But then here the Apostle Paul writing, giving God thanks for God having loosened the grip that Satan once had on these people, and God placed them in his kingdom. But listen another passage, on the same subject. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom.
Everybody hear that? We refer to the Christian. The writer of the book of Hebrew said what? Wherefore we receiving
a kingdom.
Which means the kingdom is here. Read.
Which cannot be moved.
Wait. Mr. Mitchell, you have been talking about kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the church that Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's God's kingdom. And for those who might be here and don't understand this, let me explain, because there was time when we didn't understand it either. When the Bible speaks about God's kingdom, it is referring to wherever men and women submit their lives to the will of God for Christ to rule their lives. So Jesus Christ becomes the king in their lives. That's why Christians follow the Bible. It is the rule, the regulation, the constitution of our King Jesus Christ. That's why the church, the true church of Christ, is not run by man's whims and fancies. It's not run by tradition. We try to follow what the gospel of Christ says. Why? The gospel of Christ is the constitution of the church. And so fixed is it, so final it is, that the Bible tells us that if an angel, coming from where? Heaven. Come and teach you something not taught by the apostles of Christ, the Bible says curse is on that angel. So when you come telling me what you dreamed last night and what you dreamed yesterday and you see, when nightmare ride you, don't call it word from God, because it is not. That's right. Dream your dream. And if you dream too much, stop eating late. That's right. But don't ever tell yourself a God, I give you vision. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is speaking to us through one source, and that is the gospel. Anything you want to know about how to serve God, about the true church, you have to get it from the Bible. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, where were we? Receiving a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, eh?
Let us have grace.
Let us have grace.
Whereby we may serve God acceptably.
That's right. When you are in the kingdom, you learn to serve God. But you don't just serve him your way. You serve him acceptably. You serve him in ways that he will accept. Because God does not accept any and any worship. But listen, one more passage. One or two more passages on the kingdom. One is found in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Let us hear that. Romans 14, 17.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink.
Watch here now.
But righteousness.
Listen, wait, wait. This would be about the third passage we are reading that would indicate that the kingdom was now a reality. But before Christ, remember, both Christ and John come and tell us that it's not here yet, but it's close. But after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, when the kingdom is spoken about, it's spoken about to tell us that it is a reality. Now, the passage being read from Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Is it 17?
Yes.
Yes. This passage is telling about life in the kingdom. Life in the kingdom. Let me hear it again.
For the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God.
Is not meat and drink.
Is not meat and drink. You see, the Romans, and you find it at Corinth, they have conflict over whether you should eat this meat or that meat. So the Holy Spirit commissioned Paul to write and let Christians know, don't let physical things of life, meat and drinking, whatever. Of course, they don't mean drink alcoholic beverages. You see. Okay, drinking. Don't let that create problem among you. There are some greater, more important things. The kingdom of God is not
meat and drink. But righteousness.
But righteousness, that's life in the kingdom.
And peace.
Peace with one another and with God, that's life in the kingdom.
And joy.
And joy, that's life in the kingdom.
In the Holy Ghost.
And what?
In the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost. That passage in Romans there is telling us about life in the kingdom. But wait, wait, one more passage about the kingdom as a fact. Revelation chapter 1, and I think it is verse 9. Let us hear it.
I, John, who also am your brother.
Everybody listen. I, John, listening now, he said, I'm also your brother. John was directed by the Holy Spirit to write this to seven congregations of the Church of Christ in Asia. And he said, I, John, I'm your what?
I'm your brother.
I'm your brother.
And companion in tribulation.
Watch here now. I am your companion in tribulation. Was the tribulation a reality? Yes. What else?
And in the kingdom and patience.
Wait, brother, take time with me. I am your companion also. We're in the?
In the kingdom.
Kingdom. Was that a reality? Yes. And I'm companion in patience. Was that a reality? Yes. All these passages are showing that the kingdom was a reality in the time of Paul and after Pentecost, but before Christ's death, it was not a reality because it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to bring the kingdom into reality. Ladies and gentlemen, so this is why The least born of the Holy Spirit and water is greater than the greatest born of woman. That's what Christ says. That those who are in the kingdom, because they have been born of the Holy Spirit and of the water, referring to baptism. Even if you are least in the church, you are greater than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, David. Name them. Because you have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Greater in what way are we greater? We are greater in station, where we are. We are greater in privileges in Christ. We are greater in knowledge. These are the areas. It's not because we are better than John. It's not because we are more dedicated than John. But because of the privileges to which we are exposed in Jesus Christ. We know the cross. John never got a chance to cross over from Judaism to become part of Christ's kingdom. We have. John the Baptist knew the holiness of God. He could declare the justice of God, and he could threaten his audience with the judgment of God. But the love, the mercy, the grace of God in Jesus Christ, John didn't know that, because Jesus Christ had not brought that to surface through his death, burial, and resurrection. Are we all there? So we are greater in the privileges, the advantages, the insight, the gift of grace, which were beyond the reach of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, an Old Testament character, knew the blood of goats and bulls, but we know the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we are greater. Those who are in the kingdom, because it is the blood that cleanses us from sin. And that's what places us, once we are cleansed from sin, through baptism, the Almighty God places us in his kingdom. John never get that privilege. Time for me to end this lesson. You are invited to become a part of the greatest. When Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, say in chapter 11, in fact, it is striking. It's the same chapter that he speaks about those who are in the kingdom is greater than John. Chapter 11, verse 28.
Mm-hmm. Come unto me,
mm-hmm.
all ye that labor
mm-hmm.
and are heavy laden,
mm-hmm.
and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm. Come unto me, all he who labor. You see, Jesus is calling us from the burden that sin represents. All he who labor and are heavy laden. That burden of sin can never be removed until you come to Jesus Christ in faith, repentance, and baptism. Christ is calling you. And as he called, remember, the lowest that stand upon the New Testament dispensation, they are lifted above the tallest that stand on the law of Moses. I repeat, the lowest. When Jesus Christ speaks about the least in the kingdom, in effect, Jesus Christ was pointing out those under the Mosaical dispensation never get this privilege. And the lowest that stand upon the New Testament dispensation, that is the lowest that responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you obey the gospel of Christ, you are lifted higher above the tallest who rest their religion upon Moses or upon the Old Testament dispensation. We don't come telling you to keep Sabbath. You know why? We do not keep Sabbath now. The Bible tells us that for Christians, now is the time to work for Jesus Christ. Our Sabbath come over the other side of death. We are not under the Old Testament system to keep Sabbath. We are under the New Testament system to work for Christ and for the souls of men. But before you can work for the souls of men, you must come to Jesus Christ to save your soul. And he does that by asking you to believe in him as the Son of God, as your Lord, as your Savior, to repent of your sin. That means to turn from the ways of the world, turn from ungodliness, turn from disobedient living, and turn to Christ. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you still have some other step to take. You must confess Christ's name, and you must be baptized. But Mr. Mitchell, I was confirmed. That's not baptism. That's not baptism. That is, it's not the baptism of which the Bible speaks. Confirmation and sprinkling qualify you to be a member of a man-made church. It does not place you where God wants you so that he can forgive you. So when we speak about baptism, we are speaking about what the Bible tells us baptism is. It is a burial in water. And you must be baptized to be saved. Remember, Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And it is on that basis I said that the least born of the Holy Spirit and of water is greater than the greatest born of woman. That's right. You must be born. That is, you must be baptized. If you have made up your mind to serve the Almighty God by obedient living. We are going to sing a song. While the song will be sung to the honor and glory of Christ's name, it is a great chance for you to step forward and give Christ your life. Wait. You know, always becoming a Christian means you make a move toward Jesus Christ. Always. It's a move that starts in the mind where you look and examine your life and realize, watch here, that one day you're going to die. You don't know, as I do not know, if it's tomorrow or if it's in the evening. But you know what we know? That we are going to, after that, we are going to stand before God in judgment. And he's going to judge us on how we have responded to Jesus Christ and the gospel. You have heard the gospel this morning, that Christ died for you. He wants to save you, and he wants to save you now. To be in the kingdom, what great privilege.